Welcome to Harvest Mission Community Church. You are listening to one of our sermons.
Today we're starting a whole new series called Stories. And the reason why this is so important is because we are actually talking about one of the most important stories in the whole world and throughout history, which is the gospel story, the message of Jesus Christ, and what God is doing all throughout creation and what he is still doing and what he will be doing in the future. So it's going to be a two-part series just talking about seeing our story. What is our story? What is it that God is trying to do? And then the next part, part two, is going to be sharing our story as we share with people around us the greatest story that we have of what God is doing in our lives through the gospel message. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to Luke chapter 15. We're going to be looking at one story that Jesus told. It was a parable. Many of you are familiar with it, but I want to hopefully give us a new insight as we talk about this whole new series called Stories. So Luke chapter 15. And we're going to look starting from verse 11 through 24. And so I want to start off as you're finding that passage. Also, you can get notes as we provide the notes for you so you can follow along. I want to start off with a question. A question is simply this: what is your favorite Disney or Pixar movie of all time? I don't know how many of you enjoy watching Pixar movies, but our family, we've always enjoyed it. Whenever there's a new one out, we try to watch it. And I don't know if you know, but in its almost 40-year history of Pixar, and more particularly probably in the last 25 years, there have been so many different good movies that are out. And I like different ones at different times. I remember when Christina and I were just in the thick of raising kids, the movie Incredibles, I don't know if you guys enjoy that, and also Finding Nemo were good ones. Those are things that kind of stick out for me. Also, as I kind of think about, like, as we started getting older, I don't know why, but I remember watching Up, the movie Up, and it really got to me. It kind of spoke to me. And, you know, the interesting part about these Pixar movies is that at different times of our lives, as we're going through different issues, different things that we're struggling with, they'll speak to us in different ways. And so regardless of the movie, I don't know if all of you know this or not, but all of these Pixar movies and films and just great storytelling in general, they all have similar elements as well as progression in the movie. And so Disney and Pixar, they are incredible storytellers. They are probably one of the best at doing this. That's why a lot of people study them, a lot of people try to understand, because they have mastered this art of storytelling, and they know the key elements that are required in order to have a good story. So I wanted to show you this quick video. It's just edited in such a way that you can understand some of the key things that we see about the elements of all the Pixar movies that you have. And it will give you insight a little bit into their secret formula of writing a good Pixar movie. So let's watch this together. So now you cannot look at any of the Pixar movies the same way. You realize that there's that progression and there are these key elements within each of these movies that tell a story. And they tell it so well that many of us can relate to them. One thing that you notice at the end, it talks about that it really is about us. But as Christians, I want us to understand that at the end of all good stories, the story really isn't about us, but it's really about God and who he is and the story that he's writing in your life and also in my life. And this is something that we all need to learn and fully grasp as we go through life, because there will be many ups and many downs. There's going to be a lot of things that we're going to face in our lives, mistakes and failures that we're going to experience. And in all of these things, that these stories are not really about us, but it's really about who God is. And the more we can focus on that, and the more you realize that, the more it will transform your life. So there's a basic template that most people use for a good story. And so you can find this on the internet. It's all over the place. They call it the hero's journey. And so in this journey, there are many different phases. And if you look at some of the greatest stories and some of the good stories and the stories that have inspired you, you will notice that these elements are present. And so there's this person usually that starts like once upon a time. And there's this person who felt this call to go on this adventure, but then they resisted, or sometimes they are not able to go on it. And finally, they decide to move forward in it. And as they go, they end up journeying on this road and they find a mentor or a teacher or a guru or somebody who kind of helps them into this adventure. And then through that, there's a crossroad or kind of like a crossing of a threshold. And once that moment enters in, then you realize that the character then goes through all these trials and all these different failures in their lives. And this is what brings them to the lowest point of their lives. And it's that Pixar moment, whatever you want to call it, is in that moment of this realization. And there's this death and almost like a rebirth, realizing that there's something greater. And it's at that point, there's an atonement, there's a road back, and kind of like this return to their place or to another place with their families, whatever it may be. And then that person is completely transformed or changed. And so what I want to do is take that popular hero's journey of framework, and I'm going to narrow it down to simply using the 5 C's. So I want to take that framework and make it very simple so that we could all understand this together as we think about our story, the one in which God is writing, because it's really about Him. And so this hero's journey framework, the 5 C's are simply, first of all, the call, that there's a sense of call to do something or to be something. And then I'm going to look at it from the challenges, because there will be challenges that we're going to face when we think about the life that we have to live as followers of Jesus Christ. And then I'm going to talk about a crisis and how a crisis moment oftentimes is the very thing, the agent in which God uses to bring that transformation in our lives. And from there, I want to talk about the comeback, just being able to return to the heart of God, return to the purposes of God. And then I'm going to talk about the 5th C, which is the change. And this is what God does in our lives, not something that we try to generate or make up on our own, but this is something that God does. And so if you think about it, those 5 things that I just mentioned, if you look into the Bible, you'll notice story after story of people going through these things in the same way. There's Abraham, if you think about Joseph, Moses and Esther, and even Mary and Peter, the Apostle Peter. Like each of their stories, you will notice some of those different elements of the call. There's a challenge, and then there's a crisis that they experience. There's a comeback, a full trust in God, and there's genuine change in that person's life. But one thing that I want to mention is throughout the whole story, just even when you look at the Bible, as I mentioned earlier, the true hero is not us, it's God. And He is fulfilling His purpose in each and every single one of us, and He's working out all things for His glory. And this is why we have to see our story as just a small part of God's greater story, the greater redemptive story. If you have been with us for some time, you'll notice that one of the things that we teach is this gospel story that is simply the CFRR. How many of you guys remember that or know that? And those are the 4 major parts that we see in which the redemptive history of God is moving towards. The C stands for creation, how God created all things that are good, and that was His plan. He clearly laid it out. And then we notice that because of the fall, the F, which is the fall, the sin in this world that entered in, because of that, everything now is marred. It is not the way it was intended to be. This is the reason why when we look at the world and see everything around us, we see everything just feeling as if something is wrong, something is off. This is not the way it's supposed to be. And that is why Jesus, through sending prophets and different people and still having His purpose and His plan carried out for us, He sent His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to live the perfect life that you and I could not live, and to die the death that we should have died because of our sins, that through his death and his resurrection, there is redemption. Remember, we talked about how important that word is. The word redemption means to buy back with a ransom. A ransom is paid. Jesus Christ paid the ransom through his blood and his life, and as he died on the cross. And then he purchased us back because we were the ones who were lost. So there's redemption. And through redemption, we see that God is restoring all things to himself. And that's why you and I have a purpose in life, that you and I are created for good works in which he has prepared for us in advance. So that means that right now, as a follower of Jesus Christ, that as we have been redeemed, we are now participating with God, cooperating with God for the restoration of all things for the glory of God. It will never be fully restored here on this earth because of sin, but Jesus Christ will one day return, and that's when he will make everything right, and we'll see the full restoration. And so this is the overarching story that God is writing, the redemptive story. And we need to see the whole world with this biblical view. If we don't, then we're going to miss the bigger picture of what God is doing, that it's God's story that overarches all of our stories. As you can tell, there's a church bell going off here, but too often we make it all about ourselves rather than looking at what it is that God is doing. Listen to what Eugene Peterson said in his book, Eat This Book. He says this, which is referring to scripture, and he says, "We live in a world impoverished of story. So it is not surprising that many of us have picked up the bad habit of extracting truth from the stories we read. We summarize principles that we can use in a variety of settings in our own discretion. We distill a moral that we can use as a slogan on a poster or as a motto on our desk." Now, if you think about this, if we think about our times now, we realize that many of us, we pick up different truths and different principles and morals and how to live our lives from our Instagram or from these reels. And so what happens is that we're picking up these different worldly principles and we're living according to it rather than understanding the truth from God's word, the story that he's writing. So what is it that he's doing? And I'm praying that we will be able to see God's story, that what he's doing, we'll be able to see that in our story. And I pray that we will be able to do everything and see everything that God is doing as he's writing our story, that it's really not about us, but it's about him and his glory. So let me give us the one thing. The one thing is simply this, that God is writing our story and it's all for his glory. So God is writing our story and it's all for his glory. At this time, we're gonna do a time of huddle groups, so a breakout session. I just want to make sure that because this is a sermon through video, I just don't want to be a talking head on a screen that you just kind of listen to. We really oftentimes when we do things through video, we want this to be a time where there will be some interaction so you could process some of the things that the Word of God is saying to us. Today, we're going to do something a little bit different because it's about stories and we want to be able to hear your story as God is writing it in your life. So we're going to have an opportunity to be able to share with one another, as well as to be able to testify to the goodness of God and all that he is doing. And then at the end, we're going to be able to see what God did in our church, the story that he wrote in our lives. And it's going to be really powerful and encouraging. And so at this first time, what we're going to do at this time is to have a time of huddle group. And there are two questions that I want us to kind of talk about. And it's simply, what is your favorite Disney or Pixar story or film? And explain a little bit why. Why did you enjoy it? Why is it important to you? And then secondly is, what is one thing that you are realizing about the story that God is writing in your life? It could be simply as, yeah, God is faithful. I see God's sovereignty. He's in control of all things. So just share something that you're realizing about the story that God is writing in your life. So go ahead, I'm going to give you about 6 minutes. So go ahead and make sure you check out the clock and then have each person share. All right, welcome back. I hope all of you had a good time of sharing with one another. I don't know what Disney movie you really enjoyed, but all of them are good. So whatever you probably shared, it was probably a good story. Once again, the one thing that I want to share and I want you to remember is that God is writing our story, and it's all for His glory. And so we're going to be looking at this familiar passage, the story about the prodigal son. And I want you to see it from the hero's journey story that I talked about earlier, the five C's. And so just a little bit of background so you understand what's going on. This is a story that Jesus tells to the Pharisees and to the teachers of the law, these religious leaders, because they didn't like the fact that Jesus was spending time and reaching out to sinners. They hated it because they loved to hang out with just religious people and holy people externally. And so for them to see Jesus, this rabbi, hanging out with these sinners, tax collectors, these prostitutes, it just got them livid. And that's why Jesus ends up telling these religious leaders three parables or three stories back to back. The first story was about a lost sheep, and then it was found. The second story is about a lost coin, and then it was found. And then the third story is about the lost son and how he was found. And the thing that's really important to understand about these three stories told back to back is that each of these parables or stories is that something valuable was lost. And there was, secondly, an all-out search to find what was lost. And then once it was found, you will notice in all these three stories, there was a great sense of joy. And so that's a little bit of the context as we read Luke chapter 15. So I want to go ahead and start and look at verse 11 through 13. Let me go ahead and read it for us. It says this. This is referring to Jesus. He says, "And he said, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me.' And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all that he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living." Let's just pause here. When we start off in this story, we see this younger son, he asked the father to give his share of the property. Now, this is where the development of the plot and also the characters begin to form. Now, what you have to understand is that he feels a strong sense of calling to go out. He's tired of living at the same place. And the thing that you have to understand is that by requesting the share of his inheritance, right at this moment when his father was still alive, pretty much what the young son was communicating was, "Father, I don't really care about you. And in fact, I wish you pass away soon so I can inherit everything that's mine." And it's interesting that the story that Jesus tells is that the father agrees, and he ended up dividing the property between the two sons. Now, in verse 13, you will notice that we see this defiance of the son as he went off to a faraway country. And it says here, he squandered everything in reckless living. The word squandered is translated as wasted. So pretty much he wasted all of the father's inheritance. And the phrase reckless living, it has this connotation of this wild living, just lived hedonistically, whatever he wanted to do, whatever his heart desired. And as I was thinking about this, the reason why the story is so powerful is that it really describes many of us. I think for many of us, we think that freedom is just the ability to do whatever we want to do. But as many of you understand, that that's not true freedom, because that oftentimes leads to addiction. That oftentimes leads us to a situation where we cannot get out of. It leads us further into sin or further into different things that we get entangled in. But true freedom is having the ability to choose God and to obey Him. That is what true freedom is, that you're willing to lay down your own desires and say, "God, I put you as the number one thing in my life." I'm wondering how many times in your story, even in this past year, as we think about this, that you have chosen to do whatever you wanted to do. And in essence, you lived in disobedience to God. This is exactly what the prodigal son happened to him. He decided he's better off away from the father to disobey and to do whatever he wanted to do. And this is how the story starts. Now let's continue in verse 14 through 16. It says this, "And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything to eat." So now we see the story of the son, and he's beginning to face some challenges. Once again, this is part of the hero's journey story, the framework, the sense of calling, of saying, I feel called to do this, going out and journeying out. And then we see that there's some challenges that are happening. In these verses, in fact, it highlights to us the effects of living in defiance to God. What happened? It says here, he ran out of money. His friends were gone. He had to take this lowly job and he was hungry. You know, one thing that we have to realize as we think about our own stories is that oftentimes sin promises so much, but it delivers on so little. And that's what we have to remember, that separation from God leads to slavery in this world. We get entangled and we get enslaved to the things of this world. I'm wondering how many of us can testify to this situation in our own story, where we might have decided to go our own way, make our own decisions, and do whatever we wanted to do. And now we're seeing the consequences of our actions. And we face some of these challenges in our lives because of the decision to live a life apart from God. As the story continues, we'll see this other things beginning to happen, and there's this crisis moment. Let's read verse 17 through 19. It says this, "But when he came to himself, and he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will rise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants." Now let's pause here, and as we look into the story, this is where, after facing these challenges, this crisis, this moment where he begins to realize. So a couple things happen here. First of all, there was this realization. In verse 17, we notice a phrase, "but when he came to himself." Now, the better translation is in the New American Bible, Standard Bible, and it says, "when he came to his senses." It was almost of this realization. He realized that he actually had it better with his father than what he's facing right now. And it was in this desperate situation that brought him to repentance. He realized his life was a mess and that he sinned against the father. He realized his unworthiness and understood that he deserved nothing. This is kind of the moment where God does powerful things in our lives. I want us to pause here for a moment and think about our own lives. I'm just wondering how many of us, we've had these moments, and we are in this moment right now where we're coming to our senses, where we realize the things that we were chasing after, the things that we thought that it was going to promise us something, the thing that we thought that was going to bring fulfillment and meaning and significance and happiness, whatever it may be, the sense of peace that we wanted. We realize that it was all a lie from Satan, where he offered us so much but delivered us on so little. And so we come to this point of this realization where we realize that we have sinned against God and we have turned our backs on him. Now, there are some of us who are still right now living in sin. Some of us who haven't come to our senses yet. We're still enjoying the things of this world. We're still enjoying a life apart from Christ. But one of the things that I want to share as I think about my own life is that there will come a time when all those things will just begin to be so unfulfilling. There will come a time in your life that you realize the very thing that you have that's supposed to give you and promise you all these things that you desire, that there's going to be a sense of emptiness in your heart. I'm wondering if some of us right now, we're feeling that sense of emptiness. Maybe it's your hope and your significance and your security is all placed on your grades. But you realize now as you're going through finals and maybe finishing off that maybe this is not going to bring that sense of happiness. Some of us who are chasing after our careers, none of these things are wrong, but we put them so high above that it became an idol in our lives. It might be relationships, it might be other security, financial security, or other things in our lives that we're thinking to ourselves that it's going to bring the happiness, and it's not. And in those moments, we have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Why? Because it's in those moments of sense of emptiness, a sense of unfulfillment, where we begin to come to our senses and we realize we need God. So not only is there a realization, but there's a resolve. If you look at the verbs in verse 18 through 19, you will see this. It says, I will arise and I will go and I will say. And so he is determined now, as he has come to his senses, that he's going to get up and go and he's going to talk to his father. And that's why we see the start and the beginning of this genuine repentance. And repentance is always required to resolve to act upon God's conviction. So the story continues on as we look at verse 20 through 24. It says this, then he arose and came to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Now this is the part, as I talked about the five different aspects. We see the call, we see the challenge, we see the crisis in that moment and the comeback. And the comeback of the story is beautifully displayed when, as he got up and he was heading home, and we see that he went to his father. And the story now shifts away from the son and what he did to now what the father does. We see that the father ran to his son, embraced him, and then kissed him. And what the story really does is shows the father heart of God, that his love is constant and it's steady towards us. He is waiting for us to repent and to return back to him. And we see this change, which is the last part of the son's heart of repentance. And as the father lavished his love on his son, we see a heart that is transformed. John Piper, in his book, A Sweet and Bitter Providence, writes this, life is not a straight line leading from one blessing to the next and then finally to heaven. Life is a winding and troubled road, switchback after switchback. And the point of biblical stories like Joseph and Job and Esther and Ruth is to help us feel in our bones, not just know in our heads, that God is for us. And all these strange turns, God is not just showing up after the trouble and cleaning it up. He is plotting the course and managing the troubles with far-reaching purposes for our good and for the glory of Jesus Christ. What a great reminder that in our lives, in our story, with all the turns and all the ups and all the downs, with every single bad decision, with every failure that we have experienced, and even sometimes people who have sinned against us as we go through hardships and difficulties, even by us making mistakes and sinning against other people, that in the midst of all the shame and in the midst of all the guilt that we feel, the condemnation that Satan reminds us of, that here God, knowing all things, he's still writing our story. And that story is transforming us and changing us for his glory. This is why it's simply the gospel, as we talk about all the time. The God who knew no sin, as he came into this world in the form of Jesus Christ, he died on the cross so that we can have life. That he is the one who's still writing the story, even though it seemed like his death was the end of all things. It was just the beginning, as he rose again from the dead on the third day. And through that, now we have redemption and we have life. And God is wanting us to be a part of his greater plan, of his story, his greater story, through our small little story. With all our stories put together, it will testify to the greatness of who God is and all the things that he does in our lives. That's why it requires repentance for us to come to that moment in that crisis to realize that we cannot do this by ourselves, that we do need God. We need him to help us. We need him to save us. And through that, we're able to experience new life. So the one thing, once again, is that God is writing our story, and it is all for his glory. Let me give us some quick next steps, because we're going to do things a little bit different. As I mentioned, I made the message a little bit shorter so that we can have more time to share our stories. Let me give us a couple steps here. The first thing is we need to spend some time reflecting on our story. Oftentimes we don't make that space and time, so we forget and we don't realize how much God is, how much he has been doing and how much of the story he is writing. So what we're going to do is we're going to give you some time at this moment to actually reflect on your story. And the reason why we want to give you enough time is so that you can think about all the things that God has been doing. Here are some things to think about as we reflect on our stories. First of all, think about some pain points. What are some areas of failure? What are some things that you went through in your life? That really helps us to understand what's happening within us and helps us to understand and frame it in God's bigger story. So think about those questions. What are some of my pain points? What are some of my failures? Maybe some disappointments that you have in your life. And it helps you to see just God and his faithfulness and what he's doing in your life. And then the second thing is to recite your story, to be actually to write it down according to the hero story that we talked about. If you remember the five things, it was the call, the challenges, the crisis, the comeback, and the change. And so to think about, you know, what are some of the things that God called you to do? What are some of the things that you, in disobedience, you turned away from? And then what are some of the challenges have you faced this past year, or even the last 5 years or so? And what was that crisis moment? Or maybe a couple of these crises that you had in your life. What were those moments? What was God trying to speak to you about? What was he trying to show you? And then the comeback, which is the repentance to come back to the Father. You know, what were some things that drew you back to God, to church, to community? As the Bible tells us, it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. So share a little bit about that comeback story. And then about the change. What are some things that he has changed in your life? Maybe it's your perspective. Maybe it's your heart. Maybe it's your mindset. Maybe it's just the way you conduct yourselves in your character. What are some things that he has changed? And then the third and last thing is this, just to remember the gospel. Don't ever forget the gospel. Once again, it's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Jesus and about his glory. And to realize that no matter what you have done, where you are, whatever shame, guilt you're facing, condemnation that you're experiencing in your life, that God loves you and that he has a plan and he's writing the story that he's not done yet. You're not going to be able to fully understand it yet. But the question is, will you trust him? That he truly is worthy of our trust because he's finishing and writing the story.
Thank you for listening to the Harvest Mission Community Church podcast. For more information, visit our website at hongkong.hmcc.net.